Do we want to start with introductions this morning? Yes, no?
I think it's helpful, at least for when we form the minutes later.
Yeah, let me try to find where I can see all of you too, so I know who I'm. Well, I'll start. I'm Councillor Olson, Clark County. Let's see here. Rebecca, do you want to go?
Yeah, would you like me to run through the participant list?
Sure, why don't you do that? Thank you.
I'm Rebecca Royce, Clark County staff. Cherish.
Cherish Director, City of Attleboro.
Tracy.
Tracy Coleman, Public Works Director, City of Woodland.
Dave.
Good morning, Dave Scott, City of Washougal.
Jim.
Jim Hodges, City of Camas.
Janet.
Janet, Clark County staff.
Michael.
Where is Clark County?
Samantha.
Hi, Samantha Whitley with Clark County.
And it looks like we have guest Emily.
Hi, Emily Lutz with the City of Battleground.
That's who we have today.
Great, thank you and welcome everyone. All right, approval of the October minutes. We have any changes or additions on the minutes? Okay, hearing none, do I have a motion to approve the minutes of October?
Motion to approve the minutes as submitted for the October meeting 2020.
This is Dave, second.
All right, moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. Okay, item number three, CARES Act, CDBG CV3 update. Michael, is this you?
I think it's going to be me, and I might call in Sam a couple times because I love to call in Sam. But as you can see on the slide, you know, this is the basic information on what the COVID-3 allocation for CDBG was, $1,168,179.10. Take away $233,000 for 20% admin. Also, our projection for the Battleground free clinic COVID rehab is $379,480. That leaves us $555,553 left to allocate of the CDBG CV3 allocation. And we do have some ways that that can be used that we're going to go over in a moment. Next slide, please. Thank you. Sam, do you want to talk about the Battleground free clinic update, like, you know, with any additional detail to what's on the slide? The slide basically covers it. And if you don't want to, that's fine. Just let me know.
No, I'm happy to. So I might have mentioned this last month, and somebody has asked me why this hasn't gone before the council yet. And it was because we had some trouble with their environmental review. And so that took a lot of time to get it resolved and get the records requested from ecology. And we've got that all ironed out and they're all clear. But they also then had some questions for their board. I've mostly been working with their medical director, and she of course is ready to go and wants to do it, but she doesn't own the building. And so there is some additional conversations that need to be had. To talk about what the deed looks like, what the terms are, just everything that they've never been interested in federal funding before. So we haven't had all those conversations yet with the church or with the building management. And so that still needs to happen before we take this project. We know it will be a go before we take it to the county council. Am I talking about the New Heights as well?
You can, but before we move on, are there any questions on regarding the Battleground free clinic update?
Okay, well, and then New Heights, I have been working with them, and I thought last month we were waiting to hear from them, and we thought they thought that they would do some HVAC improvements, and then it's never simple. The house that they have their clinic in is too small. Even their exam rooms, you can't even get 6 feet apart from a person in the exam room. And then it was going to be over $70,000 for HVAC improvements. And they thought, wait a minute, why are we investing all this money in a split level home that still wouldn't really be ideal for our services and our clients? Anybody that wanted to have an exam would have to walk up the steps, of course, since it's split level. And so they started investigating other ideas, such as a modular clinic, because that would be something that they could do quickly. And they've looked into a couple of buildings like that. And then they ran into the complication of whether the county zoning would allow that. And so they are still researching, and they're not sure how much money they need or what exactly their COVID response will look like. They're still trying to have those conversations, talk to county planning, and get back to us with a dollar amount.
Thanks, Sam. Any questions regarding the New Heights Preclinic from that we started talking about last meeting?
Is there any timeline issues that we are need to be aware of with regard to the New Heights Preclinic and the money and when they can actually make some forward progress?
Yeah, so we have 3 years to spend out 80% of our funding. We really have 6 years to spend out 100%. So with it, that's why they started looking at a modular clinic that could just be shipped in and placed. They could do it temporarily if planning will allow it. And then they can later build a foundation and make it more of a permanent fixture down the road. But it would be able to, if they do the modular clinic route, it would be able to be completed within the 3 years. They really want to move quickly. They realize what a huge need there is in the community. So just trying to get it figured out.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions?
So the timeline for the CV3 allocation is surprisingly permissive in my mind. It does need to be used, you know, however we use those funds, it does have to be linked to COVID response in some manner. Next slide, please. So here are other eligible needs for the CDBG CV3 allocation. With TBR case management support, there currently is a funding estimate. This is based on, Sam will talk a little bit about the pre-applications received, but you know, there is quite a bit of TBRA requests for home, and we could use the TBRA case management support for those home requests. It does not count as public service, so we're allowed to do that with our policies. That would use between $75,000 and about $175,000, depending how much case management support we provide. The $75,000, I believe, reflects the standard 20% of CDBG assistance that we put in. But if we go above that, it may actually be very helpful to our service providers right now, because you know, one thing we are finding with COVID is that, you know, not only is housing harder to access, it's also, you know, for people who need housing, people who are experiencing homelessness or very low income, but it's also they require more supports longer because of the economic downturn, you know, created by COVID. So this is, you know, that's very, very linkable. We currently have $150,000 in business assistance applications. This would be in addition to the small business assistance that is currently being provided via Mercy Corps and Fourth Plane Forward. And it would be more along the business development technical assistance type of assistance. So yes, there'd be some financial assistance involved, But this is a lot like the work, you know, this is basically the work that the Hispanic Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce has been doing as we fund them. And then the New Heights Clinic, you know, we do not know yet a dollar amount, but, you know, we would expect, you know, a modular clinic build to really be significant. Between these three things, these three areas, we really would use the whole CV3 allocation. Sam, is there anything you would like to add before we take any questions on this?
Well, I just wanted to say that I did not ask for application amounts in the pre-application because we asked for it in the full application, and then there'd be some confusion about different amounts in different places. So unfortunately, I did not ask in the pre-application. I do not know how much TIBRA is going to be requested and how much business assistance is going to be requested, but I based those estimates off of their past requests. So that's what I'm expecting, roughly what they will be requesting in their full application, but I don't know those numbers yet.
Thank you for clarifying that. And I would expect, based on conversations with our service providers and the need that we are seeing around rental assistance, that we will at least get as much, you know, service providers are going to be asking for as much home TBRA as they can get. You know, that's the feedback I've gotten to this point. Questions on these possibilities for CDBG CV3 funding?
So depending then on how these requests come in, there's like 500 and some thousand left. Is that what I saw on the previous slide?
Correct, 555,000.
Okay.
And so, depending how these requests come in, I'm pretty confident with these three areas, that 555,000 would be spent out. Things that could change this are, what happens moving forward with the Battleground Free Clinic? You know, if does the scope of their work, what they're planning to do, what they're willing to do, will that change? And then the New Heights Clinic, those are two big unknowns. Those two things could probably use the 555,000 remaining, but with the small business assistance and the TBRA, case management, especially if we increase how much CDBG we are providing for case management, you know, we could easily use up this 555,000. When I'm talking about like the case management CDBG, usually when a service provider requests home funds for tenant-based rental assistance, we automatically add 20% of community development block grant funds to assist with case management. We are allowed to do that for HUD, you know, as per HUD regulations. That is very helpful to the service providers, and it really does increase the success of people receiving rental assistance, their success in staying housed, even after the rental assistance and the supports are withdrawn. If they've received case management support while they're receiving rental assistance, their odds of staying housed when the assistance ends really does improve. So traditionally, we add 20% of CDBG funds automatically. With this COVID-3 allocation, we could use COVID-3 funds instead of our regular CDBG allocation to do so, which would free up some CDBG funds for, you know, regular CDBG requests. And if we wanted to, we could increase that 20% cap to 35%, which would, you know, mean more case management funds. And we do know that our service providers are asking for as much case management funding as they can get right now. So as we move forward, I'm pretty confident that our CV3 allocation can be entirely spent out just with these possibilities ahead. So Sam, for, in terms of the action item, what we were asking for is validation that the UCPB is, this is the road that you'd like us to pursue with this CB3 funds, as opposed to looking for alternatives to this. Is that's correct, right?
Yeah, well, I think I made it an action item before I realized that the New Heights wasn't going to have a firm request. And other thing that I would like to mention real quick is that last month we presented a lot of ideas around public services for rent assistance, shelter operations, and we were going to look into all of those ideas to have a better idea for you. But there's huge need for all of those things, which are public service activities. And I'd prefer if the board would be willing to wait for New Heights and see what their needs are, because we know if next year or the year after that, we can easily spend out all of the funding in public services. If we got into a pinch in year 2.5 and we need to spend on the money, it could easily happen with those other categories that you looked at last month. But like Michael just said, using the traditional CDBG funding in the way that the board has always allocated it without using any funding towards public services, I think we would also be able to spend it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so thank you for that, Samantha. I would agree. I don't know that this is clear enough to really take an action item. And I'm just curious, you mentioned the Battleground Clinic, and we approved the dollars. Are you saying that that they could come back and ask for more based on unforeseen circumstances going forward? And did we plan a contingency based on what we don't know in terms of that project? And then I guess I'm asking on the 75 and 150, if those are just sort of placeholders until we know what the actual requests are going to be?
Correct, on the 75 and the 150. Battleground, she has kind of looked around at other things and asked me about the flooring. And I said, well, I'm not sure if the flooring would be COVID related. And so I think the 379, the major rehab for that building is the roof. And I think the roof estimate was 200,000. And then I think that the 379 would be good enough wiggle room. Maybe she can't get all of the laptops that she was looking for, but I think she'll have enough flexibility and funding within the 379 that was already approved.
Okay. And then from a process perspective, if that changed in some way, that would come back to the board for approval or for additional funds? And is that
absolutely
that
work? Yep.
Okay. Any other comments or questions from board?
The only thing I would add, Councillor Olson, regarding public service dollars is, other uses around public service, is right now we've had, and there are never enough funds available for public service in our service providers, our service providers are pretty stretched right now with their capacity to utilize more funding if it's new activities outside of their current structure. And the funding they've been getting and are about to get right now includes the $4.9 million of the eviction prevention rental assistance provided by Commerce, which we've almost depleted, even though the program just started on August 24th. We have about $2.5 million over 3 years that are going to new shelter funds. We've had about $1.5 million that have been going out into the homeless crisis response system via CARES Act funds. We have an additional $1.5 million of emergency solutions grant COVID funds that are going into the homeless crisis response system for new shelter. And we have about $1.8 million of emergency solutions grant funds that are going out for homeless rental assistance, unsheltered homeless rental assistance, that will be going out via RFA within the next 2 months. So, you know, even though we can always use more resources for public services, if we gave a bunch of money to our service providers right now, it would take them a while to go through that, unless they just spent it on rental assistance and housing subsidies. Even then, a challenge that they have is, you know, just like everything that we do with our service providers is, it's a reimbursement base, you know, everything's done on a reimbursement basis. So service providers need to have cash on hand and cash flow and lines of credit to be able to put out the assistance and then get reimbursed by the county for that assistance that they put out. So with ERAP and HEN and the rental assistance programs that are existing right now, you know, they're stretched pretty thin, even when it comes to cash flow. And we've been really working hard within the county to have those invoice payments, the billings turned around, just to keep them functional as organizations as they're, you know, providing all this assistance to the community.
Thanks for that. Thank you for that clarification and additional information. Any other questions or comments on this piece? And then I guess my question would be, we don't need to do anything with it, just wait till our next meeting to get an update?
Correct. I mean, if all of this looks like this is not at all the direction that we would like to go, please give us that feedback. If this makes sense as what you can expect in future meetings, this is what you will be, you know, along these lines, however these numbers really solidify as the actual applications get turned in for TBRA and business assistance, and we get the numbers from New Heights and the Battleground Free Clinic numbers, you know, get confirmed, you know, that's what you will expect to see in future meetings.
Okay, thank you. All right, any other feedback from the board? Okay, then we'll wait to see how the requests come in and additional information on New Heights, and we'll address this at our next meeting then. Thank you.
Sam, would you like to cover the pre-applications received?
Sure, I'd be happy to. We got fewer applications this year than we did last year, probably because everybody is busy with their COVID response. City of Battleground applied for Northeast First Street sidewalks, approximately 600 feet of new sidewalk on First Street. City of Camas applied for Northeast Second Avenue improvements, which will include street, sidewalk, ADA improvements, and then they will do their water improvements with as match. Lifeline Connections is looking for a home that they will acquire, an existing single family home, but they're hoping for at least 5 or 6 bedrooms that they can use as a group home for moms with kids, I think under 5, who are in treatment and need housing. City of Washougal is looking to improve their Hamlet Park with upgraded playground equipment and restrooms. Woodland is continuing their Beechwood sidewalks project. You funded that a couple of years ago, and there's still additional sidewalk needs along Beechwood. And then Hispanic Chamber is looking for their ongoing program of small business technical assistance, and Mercy Corps is proposing an IDA program, which is individual development accounts. So a small business will start their program and go through the training, and the business will put some money into savings. And then at the end of the program, Mercy Corps would match that savings so that they would have a good chunk of money in order to launch their business, however they've planned to do that throughout the training course. And then Proud Ground's homeownership assistance, you're familiar with that program, the Land Trust. Janus Youth, Lifeline Connections, and Second Step Housing, and SHARE are all applying for their tenant-based rental assistance programs that they have been operating over the years. Second Step Housing is looking, this is similar to an application they put in before. They haven't identified any housing yet, but they would like to look around and find some current units that are on the market, either a duplex, a triplex, 8 or 9 units, whatever they can find that they could acquire with the home funding and then make those units are affordable. And then finally, the VHA is coming in for a new multifamily project in Battleground, which will be new construction for 80 units for people who earn less than 60% of the area median income. That's what we'll be looking at this year.
And that Battleground, we've talked about that in the past, haven't we? Were they like premature last time they asked for money on that project? Or am I remembering something different?
Were you on the bus tour? We looked at a piece of street that we funded that was going to connect around a corner, or maybe Cherish could speak to this better than I could. And we talked about that the VHA had purchased the property along that street. And that's part of the reason that they were improving that portion of the street is so that that lot would be ready for development. But they haven't, the VHA hasn't applied for this project before.
Okay.
Might be thinking of the Habitat for Humanity project.
That's what I'm thinking of. Okay. All right. Any questions on this for now? Okay. What's next?
Who's got this? Rebecca, would you like to talk about ERAP since you've Rebecca has really is the coordinator that has put ERAP together and got it up and running with the assistance of our service providers. And we have 4 providers actually doing rental assistance. That's Council for the Homeless, SHARE, Impact Northwest, and Lifeline Connections. They are using the assistance of 10 what we call by and for organizations, which are organizations that are run by Black, Indigenous, or people of color for Black, Indigenous, people of color communities, throughout the county. 8 of those organizations are doing outreach to their communities and referrals to the program for rental assistance. That is something that has been working very well for us. Like, we're pretty excited about some of the results we've had in terms of who is receiving assistance. And the reason we actually started to do this was to Washington State Department of Commerce's credit that they really set up the ERAP program with this built in of, all the communities that are receiving funds. We want you to work with by and for organizations. We want you to assistance to reach at least a proportion of the populations of color that exist in your community and should be needing assistance based on census data. And we have been hitting all our targets. So that's really good. But Rebecca, do you want to go through the data?
Yeah, so this is a report that I pulled for the beginning of the month, just to kind of give us an idea of where we are with hitting our targets and just to really help the rent assistance providers see how much work they've been doing. I mean, they know because they've been putting in a lot of hours, but it's an amazing feat for our providers to be able to turn around a program so quickly and get the assistance out the door to help so many households. So far or through August 24th, when we officially opened the program through November 2nd, our 4 housing providers had served 922 households, providing 2,559 months of assistance.
at that time, the program would only could only pay up to 3 months of assistance. And so you can kind of see how many people were maxing out what they could receive through this program. And they had expended just shy of $3 million into the community to landlords to help catch people up on their rent in just a couple of months, which is just a significant amount of assistance provided in that short amount of time. We took a look at just some of the bigger areas of who was being served. And so you can see nearly 75% of the households are headed by a female and over 54% are identify as a household of color. So the targeting, the outreach that we did with the Buy and For organizations really did help make sure that our underserved and over counted populations in poverty are really receiving a majority of the assistance through this program, which is really what Commerce was hoping for us to do. Any questions about this program? This program does end December 31st. There's no extension, and that's because they're U.S. Treasury dollars. So we are hoping that Governor Inslee will extend the eviction moratorium past the end of the year so that we don't have a cliff, so to speak, right when the program ends. So we'll be patiently waiting for more information on that.
Rebecca, do you have any idea when the governor may or may not take action on that?
No, historically, it's been, you know, very close to when the moratorium ends that he'll make a decision to extend it. But Washington's moratorium is very robust for tenants. We have pretty good confidence that it'll be extended considering the cases are continuing to rise.
Okay.
So, Councillor Olson, that the governor does have a work group that includes housing providers and advocates and landlords and, well, when I say housing providers, I meant on the social services side, housing advocates and tenant service providers on one side, and also housing providers and landlord organizations on the other. So I do know that there are active discussions in terms of what modifications would be appropriate to be made to the eviction moratorium order, and that it does include extending or not, as well as, you know, are there any other changes that need to be done in terms of how is it being executed and what is, you know, what falls within the moratorium. But there aren't any dates yet.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions on the Emergency Rental Assistance Program report? All right.
Please. And Rebecca, this is you again.
So we wanted to give you an update on our quarterly reports. Progress is still going on a lot of our projects. The Hoke Street Improvements Project in Yakult. The construction there is complete, and we're finalizing, as of the dates of this report, the documents to close out that project is just about done. Battleground project was on pause due to COVID, but the contract has been extended so to make sure that they can get that project going as soon as possible. The Ridgefield South 3rd Avenue Storm Improvements Project during the time of this report was nearly complete. It is now officially complete as far as the construction. They had postponed doing the landscaping for the fall. That was actually done last Wednesday. And so we're just waiting for the final paperwork. And I anticipate this project being fully closed out before the end of the year, and actually probably much sooner than that. The Hispanic Metropolitan Chamber served 32 small businesses through virtual assistance, as we all try to move towards doing virtual assistance through all of our programs. The share house elevator, this project is mostly complete. This one's been on here for quite a while. If you recall, we've talked about there was an issue with LNI and signing off on some of the permitting because of the fire doors and some gap in between the wall and where the doors are. There was some back and forth. They finally come to an agreement and they've done the final repairs. So this project should be getting wrapped up quickly. And then we have several projects that were awarded funding for 2020 funds. Camas is knocking on my door, asking me about getting the environmental review done. And so we'll be working diligently on that this week so we can move that project forward. And the rest of them are still doing their design and moving forward. We do now have our 2020 grant agreement from HUD, so we can move forward and execute contracts for these funds. The COVID funding that we had provided, because of the timeline of this report, we show that we have given them funding, but they haven't really had much time to start billing us for the services. So we anticipate seeing on the next report that movement on all of these programs. And then for the home funded projects, Proud Ground is closed on their second household in July, and their third household was currently looking for housing. I believe, and Sam can verify this, that they did find the third household did find housing, and they're going through the environmental process.
That's correct.
The second step, housing new construction acquisition, this is the one where they decided to work with a developer and then they will purchase the townhomes from the developer. So they're under construction. So that project is moving forward. And then the Grand Boulevard, the Grand Pacific Apartments, they are still doing all the legal documents. The financing stuff is getting all taken care of, so it should be beginning construction soon. Mercy Housing, the environmental review is being worked on, and this is a joint project with the City of Vancouver. The Central Park Place Rehab program or project with the Vancouver Housing Authority is in the design process. They're working towards getting that project going, and then Proud Ground received additional funding. So once they finish their 2019 funds, they will move right into doing their 2020 funding. And then with our tenant-based rental assistance, of course, they just keep chugging along with their programs. The check programs is finishing up for that program. That's some older funding. Lifeline served 5 households. Janus has served 16 households to date. And then Share has served 38 households. And then those programs, Share, I know, just finished most of their funding, and we are executing their 2020 grants right now. And Janus is near the end of their funding, and they'll be starting their 2020 funds in the next month or so. And then Lifeline, as soon as they finish the rest of their funding, we'll move them into typically the beginning of the year. They'll receive their additional funds with their new contracts. Any questions about the quarterly reports? All right.
And I guess, Rebecca, do you want to say anything on the community needs assessment forum since you're running that?
Yeah, so the community services block grant, which is other federal funds that we receive, require that we do a community needs assessment every 3 years. Because of COVID, it got delayed some. And then unfortunately, due to a death in the family, I had to postpone the forums that we were going to do that I mentioned last at the last meeting. So the forums have been rescheduled for December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. We are doing a total of 4 forums. We have 2 in English with ASL interpreters available. And then we have 1 in Russian and 1 in Spanish so that we can engage as many populations as possible here in Clark County. We will be presenting data from the survey that we did at the very end of 2019 into January 2020
to see what needs were identified by households that identify as having a low income. And then we'll have it be having some small group discussions about what poverty looks like here in Clark County, and what ways we might be able to move forward with helping people with their income and increase that income to be able to achieve self-sufficiency. So again, those will be December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. It's a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And we hope to see you guys there.
All right. Thank you, Rebecca. Do we have any public comments that we know of?
I believe not. Okay. And Sam, just to be sure, like this, we're not talking, this is opportunity for public to make any comments regarding, you know, to the UCPB, or are you talking about the public comment period for the action plan or anything regarding the consolidated plan? I cannot remember, to be honest.
Oh, sorry. No. Yeah. It's just open. It's just always been on our agenda to have a spot for public comment.
Thank you.
And I don't know that actually if we get public comment, we receive it via email and in writing, correct? And we don't read it into the record though, right? We just acknowledge it, or how are we handling that here? I don't know that I've talked about this before.
We almost never get public comment. but we would, you know, honestly, I think I'd probably mention it and tell you the substance of the public comment, and we would enter it in the record, at least have it reflected in the minutes. If depending on the detail and what the public comment was, like, you know, we would absolutely read it to the UCPB and distribute it to you in writing as well, so you can review it.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, that sounds good. All right, any other comments or anything from board members for the good of the order? All right, then we will look to December 14th for the next UCPB meeting, but to Rebecca's comments earlier on the needs assessment forum, put that on your calendars if you're available, and we will adjourn this morning. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Everyone, thank you.
Thank you,
Olson.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.